This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hey, Jim, have you ever taken a vitamin?
I have. I took one last night.
And like vitamin supplement things?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about the chemistry behind them?
No. I think it's like dust that's like compressed into a shape. That's kind of...
I mean, yeah.
I'm just guessing about that.
I mean, that's not wrong. You're not wrong that it's dust compressed into a shape.
Okay. So that's as far as I know. That's all I know.
Well, what we're going to talk about is what they are, should we take them, and I'm going to give my perspective on them and my approach to them, and it's just going to be a big, broad overview of what are vitamins, why are they called vitamins, why are they labeled with letters.
Why some people say vitamins instead.
I don't know if we can get into that, like why some people have accents and others don't.
Right,
but
yeah. Oh, we don't, can't do that?
No, probably okay. Not. Right. I don't know the chemistry behind why British people sound cooler than we do.
Yeah.
Or Australians.
Yeah.
But I can tell you what a vitamin is, and that's what we're going to get into today.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Let's do it. Hey, I'm Melissa.
I'm Jam.
And I'm a chemist.
And I'm not.
And welcome to Chemistry for Your Life,
the podcast that helps you understand the chemistry of your everyday life.
For some reason, I wanted it to be bonus edition, but it's regular edition.
Yeah, just a regular old edition.
Regular old Tuesday. I guess it's Thursday for y'all. Tuesday night for us.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start with what are vitamins?
Okay.
Vitamins are organic molecules. So that means they are carbon-based molecules.
Okay.
They are molecules that are necessary for our body to function.
Okay.
If we don't have them, there can be problems.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they can't be synthesized by our body, or they can't be synthesized by our body in the amount that we need without some sort of external supplementation.
Right. Okay.
That primarily comes through our food, or like in the case of vitamin D, from the sun.
Right. Right.
Okay. So there are 13 recognized vitamins, A, B, and there's like B1, B2, B3, B5, B7, B9, B12,
mm-hmm.
C, D, E, and K. And there's some numbers that are associated with the other ones too.
Okay.
But B is the one that has the most.
Okay.
Okay. And these vitamins can either be water soluble or fat soluble.
Okay.
Okay. So let's talk about what water soluble versus fat soluble means.
Okay.
So what does that mean to you?
It sounds like it can be dissolved in water.
Yep.
Or dissolved in fat, which I guess would mean more like dissolved into non-polar stuff.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was hoping you'd get.
Nice.
To.
I was thinking like, I don't know if you just like had a piece of like gristle from a steak, if you could just put a vitamin on it and be like, go, go be free.
Yeah.
Right.
Fat would be like fat and oil. I mean, yeah, technically, I guess it could. Like butter and the fat from a gristle from a steak could come together. But So one time I had ordered a very nice steak at a meal. It was the nicest steak I've ever eaten.
Uh-huh.
And that was the first time I've ever experienced fat on a steak just melting in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that it could do that.
Yeah.
So that kind of fat could definitely take care of these fat-soluble vitamins. Okay, yeah. So water-soluble and fat-soluble, basically, we talked about this a lot, but just to give a quick overview, bonds share electrons. And if they're equally shared and there's not like a area with more electrons on one side and less electrons on the other, if it's all equal, then you can think of the bond as being sort of neutral. But because electrons are negatively charged, if it's unequal sharing, if it's like a game of tug of war and one side is winning, there will be a side with more electrons, which is more negative, and a side with less electrons, which is more positive. And so it has poles almost like a magnet or like a battery. And so then it only wants to interact with other polar things.
Okay.
So the water-soluble vitamins, which are the B vitamins and C vitamin, those are soluble in water because the molecules of the vitamins themselves are polar.
Yeah.
And for the most part, the fat-soluble ones are not polar, or they have very large parts of them that are not polar. And so they can go into oil or fats.
Okay.
Because things like to dissolve things like them, like dissolves like you may have heard. Okay. So now some of these we've discussed before. To give you a little reminder, vitamin A. Do you remember what vitamin A is? We talked about it once before.
What vitamin A is? I know it's in carrots.
I don't know if it is or not.
I know. I know it is. I'm just kidding. I'm pretty sure.
It has to do with eyes and skin.
Eyes and skin.
Do you want me to just tell you?
Yes, please.
It's retinol.
Oh.
Remember?
Yes.
So you put retinol on your skin or retinoids or whatever. Uh-huh. It's a type of vitamin A.
Wow.
And it actually works to reverse the damage done to your skin by the sun because it's a cute little vitamin that we need. So it also helps your eyes function.
Is it like, I remember talking about this a little bit with vitamin D. And this is one of the things that like grow up hearing about vitamins all the time and never really understanding them takes a bit for me to train my brain to think of it, not just like random things in letters or whatever. But so vitamin A is retinol always, or retinol is an A vitamin, is one of the vitamin A's. Like, how does
I
that
think
work?
Vitamin A, there's just the one. I think it's retinol. But some of the other ones, like vitamin D, we talked about, like there was D1, D2, D3.
Right.
And there's sort of stages to get to the final D3.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember just talking about that, but I remember thinking that I think probably with retinol and a little bit with vitamin D, the realization of like, oh yeah, but what even are they? And is it just code words for other things? And is there like a category or not? And I guess with the ones that have multiples, it is, but
yeah.
Okay. Got it. Retinol.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, you don't have to like memorize the names or anything.
No. I'm going
to
memorize it.
So, I have a list of where we get our different vitamins from. Let me make sure. Oh, yeah. So we've done an episode on vitamin A. We did an episode on vitamin D. We are likely to do an episode on vitamin C sometime soon.
Okay.
Because that's probably the one you've heard. Ascorbic acid. It's used to preserve food, but also people say it's associated with the functioning of the immune system. Mm. So I want to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Vitamin A we get from plant sources in the form of carotenoids like beta carotene. So it is in carrots. You're right. Which convert to retinol during digestion. Plants abundant in vitamin A include dark green leafy vegetables. So spinach and amaranth, among others, carrots, squash, yellow maize, mangoes, and papayas.
Nice. Do you know why I remember that? Remember this class I talked about a few times? I took a nutrition science class in college.
Oh, so you already know all about the vitamins.
Well, they talked about vitamins, but it wasn't trying to understand the molecules and like the thing, the way it works. It was more like, nutritionally, it might be good if you know what things are in.
Yeah.
And so some of those I remember, but
okay,
they wouldn't be like, and here's why exactly. It's more like, here's the things that are in the foods here's when you need that kind of stuff.
Well, today we're just going to do a broad overview and we're not going to talk about the individual functioning.
Okay.
Just cool. Like what they are and why they're called that. Okay. Kind of. Okay.
Deal.
So that's vitamin A.
Okay.
Vitamin D is present in, which we also talked about, is present in certain foods like salmon, tuna, and mackerel, but also, you know, of course, we get it from the sun. Sorry, I have a lot of lists here. Okay. Vitamin E, natural sources of vitamin E include vegetable oils, seeds, nuts, and whole grains.
Okay.
And then vitamin K is found in leafy vegetables, cabbage, cauliflower, and then, you know, some meat, fish, fruits. Mm-hmm.
Did you find why they skipped some letters?
I did. We're going to talk about that.
Okay, good.
So the gut microflora also synthesizes vitamin K2. So that's another one that it's like, oh, you have the precursors in our gut synthesizes things.
Got it. Okay.
Okay, then vitamin B was hard to make a list of everything it was found in because the I was using a resource from the NIH, so the National Institute of Health, and there was it went through every type of vitamin B and where you could get it from. So I condensed it. So this is where you get all the vitamin Bs condensed down. So this is not like
exhaustive.
All the vitamin Bs, yeah, in every one of these sources. But you can get some vitamin Bs from all of these sources.
Okay. All right.
So milk, eggs, mushrooms, plain yogurt. And this was a British website, so it was yogurt.
Yeah.
Yogurt. Peas, fresh fruits, such as bananas and oranges, nuts, whole grains, meats, avocados, and soybeans.
Mm, nice.
Okay, so that's a little bit of what vitamins exist and where we can get them. Now, let's go to why they're called vitamins.
Okay.
And why they're called vitamins A through whatever. Okay, so I think I've told you this before.
Yes, and I think I remember thinking of a sort of funny to me thing after you said what it really was. So now I'm only kind of remembering that, which is like, oh, they're vitamins. They're vital miniature little thingies. They're vital vital mins.
They are vital mins, miniature things. But what they were originally was, it's derived from vital, and then. So I'll say the first group that they were like, oh, this is important for our functioning, had a specific functional group on it. And a functional group is?
A group of atoms that appear in a similar shape and have a similar way of behaving.
Right.
And, yep.
So they like will appear in these specific arrangements over and over, and so we know how they'll act. So one such group is an amine. So vital amines, they were like, oh, we need these amines to live. They're vital to us. They're amines. Then they found some vitamins that were not amines. So they're like, well, let's just drop that E and we'll just call them vitamins.
Yeah. They're like, I mean, like, you probably need these.
I mean, they were found in the 1990s. It was first identified that people and animals needed more than just protein, fat, and carbs to exist. I read a study where it was like these birds that either they were fed just rice or it was like white rice or rice with the hull, and the ones without the hull were getting sick, and then they put the hull back on. I was like, oh, maybe they need more than just...
These were discovered in the 90s?
1900s. Sorry. Oh, did I say 1990s?
I think you did.
Early 1900s.
Okay. Okay. I was going to be like, no way.
So
like,
the 90s are the late 1900s.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Still in the same. Yeah. Century.
Yes.
But yeah. It'd be so funny to like have been, you know, because you and I are early 90s folks, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be so funny to have been born right with something like that, sort of existing and being talked about or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to just kind of not know any different and to only now discover that they had
they were as old as we are.
Yeah. Okay, so in early 1900s, that makes way more sense. It seems so much more normal, but it would have been cool. I would have loved to be like 1990s, and they're like, okay, something good happened in the 90s, you know?
Something good did happen in the 90s. We were born.
Right. And 1999 is like one of the best years for movies, apparently. Like, there's sometimes I've looked at lists and they'll be like, do you know all these movies came out in 1999? And I'm like, no.
1999.
Way.
That's also when the Dallas Stars won the Stanley Cup, but I don't remember a single movie that came out. That like Lion King was earlier, like 94, 95.
99 has like some stuff like Being John Malkovich is 99. It is an era where there are a lot of like smaller important movies made. I wish I could remember more of them off the cuff. Maybe talk about that in the Chem Immunity that we have coming up.
That's good.
Maybe we can investigate that. But yeah, I have seen it multiple places where people are like, we'll talk like well, it's not like a legendary year, not like 1999 was, but it's like
interesting.
It's like everyone agrees in that space. Not everyone. No one agrees. Everyone doesn't agree on anything, but a lot of people
agree on that.
Yeah.
Well, the early 1900s were the golden years for vitamins.
And business was booming.
So essentially two people sort of separately, but at the same time, a Polish chemist and an American chemist identified, this one was doing the thing with birds and they were like, oh, these birds are getting sick, you know? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then separately one was like, oh, there's this accessory nutrient that's important. So the accessory nutrient was found to be a accessory, and then someone else separately named the vitamins. They came together. So the first one was vitamin A, and then they were just named chronologically: vitamin A, vitamin B, C, D, E, and then K.
Yeah.
K.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, where'd the other letters go?
Yeah, seriously.
F. G. Come on.
Yeah.
It's because K is important. Vitamin K is important in the functioning of blood, and a Danish scientist identified, I guess, vitamin K, and was like, oh, K, the word for blood in their language starts with a K. So they're like, see, vitamin K for blood, like vitamin B for blood. But
I see.
But it's actually K for their version of blood.
Yeah.
And so he just, I guess, was like skipping it.
Yeah, and I guess if he like wrote a bunch of stuff about it, did a bunch of things about it, other people being like, oh, it's just great stuff. But we're going to change the name of the thing that you isolated. It would be like weird. It's like, oh, you've clearly already done all this work and like find and replace didn't exist in that paper.
I also feel like find and replace didn't exist.
Sorry. Like, that would be actually kind of hard. He's like, oh, he's written a lot about
this. That took me a second to realize. Okay. So, but I also think there's part of me is like, what a dumb system that you just made up that there were vitamins, there weren't even vitamins, and then you just labeled them A through D and then K. But actually, then I thought about it after, and I was like, that's way easier for people to remember than the molecule names. Like, I can't even remember the molecule names.
Right.
Except for, I know vitamin A, and I know vitamin C, but, like, we just did vitamin D, and I can't remember the name of that molecule. Mm-hmm. And I am a chemist.
That's a good point.
So then, you know, for all my, get it together. It actually, it is easier to remember vitamin A, vitamin B, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So for all my mockery, they did a pretty good job. Yeah. And now I'll remember the K is blood.
And coining a new word, it's like, it came from vital amines. But like now, I mean, the word vitamin, we got it. We all know it. You know, like we all had the Flintstone ones or whatever. It's like ever since we were a kid, we knew something about them and that word mean something. And so it's kind of helpful that it's so easy to say and remember. And even if they're not all amines, they coined a new slang and it's working.
It's working. I guess.
The K thing is also just kind of funny.
It's like, I'll do my own thing.
Yeah.
You guys are dumb for just using the alphabet. I'm going to do my own thing.
He's like, why don't I just use random alphabetical letters? I'm going to use the first letter of blood in my language. Like, that makes a lot more sense. And
vitamin A would have been vitamin E because it's like for the eyes.
Yeah.
And then vitamin D would have been vitamin B because it's like for your bones.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin C would have been vitamin I because it's for the immune system. Mm-hmm. And then that would have been easier to remember.
That would have been pretty
vitamin
good.
Vitamin immune, vitamin blood, vitamin bone.
Our patented technology contains tons of vitamin bone, vitamin blood, vitamin I. It's like, But does it have eyes in it? Or are you saying just the vitamins for your eyes? Like, I don't want to be eating anything that has bones and blood in it if I can help it.
Oh, well, so I'm not going to talk about this today, but I did do research on, and I think we'll do a separate episode on early on supplements and vitamins that were being sold as vitamins were just total made up. It was like dust and total made up crap.
Uh-huh.
And so go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I read about that a little bit. I've talked about this book before. That I read in that nutrition science class, that is a, it's like weird because it was optional, but I didn't realize that when I bought it. And then I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to read this. I bought it. But
you still have it?
I don't know. It's a good question. I would love if I did.
I want you to not look at it, forget it, and let me read it and then tell it to you on a story, on an episode. And
okay.
It'll be like a whole new world.
Well, the book is called Fear of Food. Remember okay. the name of it.
Okay.
And it had all of these. It was like this, definitely well-researched, but the guy who wrote it was certainly trying to write it to regular folks to understand it and put things nice. In sort of in story form.
Nice.
But every chapter is a different, basically had a different, really interesting early take on foods and health that was ended up being either really wrong or like had the right idea, but it took a while before it ever like got anywhere. And one of them was about how vitamins for a long time were total shams, and their way of trying to like sell things that had it and stuff was ridiculous. And like yeah. totally people could do whatever they wanted. And it was yeah. the Wild West. And
yeah.
there's a chapter just about vitamins. There's a chapter just about yogurt. Cause there was a time when people thought, you know, obviously yogurt's good. It's got good things going for it.
Yeah.
But there was a time when it was like the miracle thing. And so people were the, and this is probably almost all these stores are based in the US. So like
yeah.
These things might have not have happened to the places, but super interesting book. And each one's like its own story about a type of food or part of our health or whatever. Anyway, right. super interesting.
That does sound really interesting.
It's like every chapter is like a really interesting podcast about things you didn't know about.
Could we just like take that book and do episodes based on that?
Why not? I mean, it's super cool. We should find it.
Yeah, so, I'll look into that.
Yep.
Good recommendation to our listeners. Okay. So back to what we're talking about.
Yes.
So I haven't talked much about that, but I will say, well, first I'll say this. These vitamins are essential to mm-hmm. our optimal body function. And if you have deficiencies of them, like we discussed on some of our other episodes, but if you have deficiencies with, you know, if you don't have enough vitamin D, you're not going to have good bone health. You could get rickets.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not having enough vitamin C, you could get scurvy. There was lots of negative health effects associated with vitamin D deficiencies, which I have mm-hmm. a vitamin D deficiency. And it is associated with things that I have also had trouble with. Like, mm-hmm. One is associated with, blood sugar issues, and I have that. And yeah, there's all kinds of things associated with vitamin D. So, if you don't have enough of them, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't have enough of them, it is good for you to supplement them with whatever your doctor tells you to supplement them with. However, in general, vitamins and minerals should be provided primarily by the food that you eat.
Right, right.
So this is where we'll get into vitamin supplements.
Okay.
And what we think about them. And I'll give a little bit of the history. So there have been, I would say, some ups and downs with the United States government, the FDA, and regulating vitamins. Mm-hmm. But in the 50s, I think the 50s and 60s, the statement that was required to be on the supplement bottle
mm-hmm.
was vitamins and minerals are supplied in abundant amounts by the foods we eat. The Food and Nutrition Board of the National Research Council recommends that dietary needs be satisfied by foods. Except for persons with special medical needs, there is no scientific basis for recommending routine use of dietary supplements.
Mm.
That's what used to have to be on the bottle.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Now, all that has to be on the bottle. There's lots of little regulations, but basically that this is not overlooked by the FDA.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, that is interesting.
So we can talk more about the regulatory bodies and stuff, but essentially, most science points to the fact that you should be able, as long as you're not eating what mm-hmm. they say they called a monotonous diet.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not eating a monotonous diet, you should be able to get sufficient amount of vitamins from your food unless you have been tested by a doctor and they say you have a deficiency and then you need to intentionally supplement it, which is what I do with vitamin D.
Yes, right, right. I take a multivitamin.
Mm-hmm.
My doctor recommended it.
Nice.
Not health advice to you. My doctor recommended it.
We're also, not doctors. I am a doctor, but not that
yep,
kind.
Yep. I'm not any kind. And but also, I think I told you about some of the health stuff my dad was having. And
though
it hasn't been proven, he was worried that my brothers mm-hmm. and I might be deficient in the ways he is.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, I guess everything, if you took too much of it,
yes,
is bad for you. Or not all of them, but a good amount of them.
Yes.
But if you're taking a little supplement and it's not some person making a bunch of money off of you, it's probably not
yes
that harmful unless you're taking a lot, right?
Yeah. So I will say one of the sources that we linked tells you what could happen if you have too much of certain vitamins over years.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do kind of have this thing like, oh, well, there can't be too much of a good thing, but there can be some,
yeah,
especially like the fat soluble vitamins, but even some water soluble, but they'll stay in your body and they can cause negative effects. So there is a study where I think for some reason it was like in smokers specifically,
whoa,
they gave them vitamins A and E
mm-hmm.
and the ones who had vitamin A and E and larger amounts and the ones who just had a placebo, they ended up actually having higher rates of cancer.
Wow.
So that's just one study. I don't remember the details of it. But so
you're kind of messing with some stuff.
Yeah.
That isn't so good.
Yes. And so they do, I believe now there are maximum recommended amounts and like the recommended daily amount isn't like a minimum. That's like, that's like, you're in a good zone if you're about there.
Yeah.
So it's not really recommended to take more than that. It's not a more than this is better kind of situation. It's like, take what you need.
Right.
What's the pirate thing? Take what you can, give nothing back. That's what I was going to say. Take what you need, give nothing back. No.
Yeah.
So taking what you need is beneficial. And obviously if you're deficient, you do need to supplement it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not really good evidence in it. There is some evidence that you might be wasting money and potentially causing negative ramifications if you have too many of vitamins that you don't need. So,
yeah.
But multivitamin, like a daily multivitamin, most of the things are like, it shouldn't help too much, shouldn't hurt too much
mm-hmm.
for normal people,
mm-hmm.
like average health person.
Right.
If you're deficient in something, they could help. If you're taking like a lot of them, like if you maybe are anxious and you're like, oh, I could be missing something, I'm going to take a bunch of those. That's not a good move either.
Right.
But from what I could find, mm-hmm. a multivitamin probably won't hurt you, but it's also really probably not super necessary unless you're eating a monotonous diet.
Right.
And this brings me to a thought that I have about this.
Okay.
Okay.
And do they have any, and maybe they didn't, or maybe we need to look into it. Do they have any numbers of like, you know, trends? They have like probably a lot of good data about trends of diets in the U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they have any numbers about how many of us are in a monotonous diet.
So that's what I was going to say.
Okay.
So they don't have a trend. They didn't have numbers about that necessarily, yes. But yeah. We've talked about fiber on this podcast before.
Right.
And the majority of Americans get not enough fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because we rely heavily on ultra processed foods.
Right.
Which I think in many cases have been stripped a lot of the nutrients that normally food would come with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I am of the belief that it is possible that some of us are accidentally eating monotonous diets because of the standard American diet.
Right, right.
And so I wonder if this is off the cuff. This is not anything I looked up, but I'm like, is it valuable for most Americans who are not getting enough fiber because they're not eating enough vegetables, so they're very likely not getting enough of other nutrients, is it valuable for them to be supplementing with a vitamin? Mm-hmm. Especially because we know there are things like food deserts where it is really hard to get fresh vegetables regularly in certain, you know, parts of really urban areas or really rural areas or whatever. It can be hard in some areas to get fresh food and veggies. So should those people take vitamins?
Right, right.
Would that supplement something that they're missing if they're relying heavily on ultra processed foods?
Right. It's like maybe the macronutrient stuff it would be really hard to fix for everyone. It's like if there's a little, you know, with pill, which there is obviously, mm-hmm. and if that would make a notable difference for people, that might be great. Yeah. At least be something, but
would at least be something.
Yeah. That's a really good point, man.
So this is basically what I'll call an introduction to vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
I want to dive in deeper, but I feel like this by itself already took an amount mm-hmm. of time.
And one of us kept derailing the other one of us.
I think that was mutual. So I think that I'll just stop there. But
okay.
Do you want to give me the basic facts about the chemistry of what vitamins are?
Yes. So vitamins are...
oh, no. Jam didn't learn anything on this episode.
A collection of mm-hmm. very important... Are they all functional groups, basically?
Well,
some of them are specific molecules, right?
They're all molecules. And initially, they were all the molecules thought that they'd have a functional group on them.
Got it.
Of an amine. But then that was debunked.
Right. Okay. They're all molecules
mm-hmm.
that are deemed to be... essential in some way to the way our bodies work. Some of them we just make and have and stuff, and like it just happens or whatever.
Right.
Some we get precursors to them and mm-hmm. then our body does the rest. Some we get and maybe use that way or whatever, but they basically over time we're able to assemble this list of those vital molecules
mm-hmm.
and also figure out which things are just already in, which they're in a ton of things. So
tons of things, yeah.
In an ideal world, in a situation, our diets, they had enough variety. These are things we would be getting either the straight up whole vitamin, the whole molecule we need or whatever, or we'd be getting the thing that our body could then turn into
right
the vitamin that we need. And there's various essential functions like for our bones, mm-hmm. For our blood, for our eyes, for our skin.
Eyes, skin. I should have compiled a list of what they all do, but I didn't. I can for next time.
Yeah. And...
I think that's fine.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah.
I was like...
I don't think I said anything else, did I? Therefore, I mentioned... You can't have too much of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not always too much of a good thing.
Right.
You missed one part.
Okay, wait. Let me think then. The one part is... that they are cool. Mm-hmm. Dang it.
They're...
Oh, yeah. Fat soluble?
Yes.
Yeah. Back to the very beginning.
Which means what?
Which means that they themselves are nonpolar, and so mm-hmm. they can be dissolved into non-polar things. Our bodies
so they'll be stored in the fat.
Stored in
body,
our fat.
I think.
And then water soluble, they are polar. Mm-hmm. And so they are soluble in water, which we have a lot of in our bodies.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times that means if we have excessive amounts of those, our body can just excrete it in urine. Mm-hmm. Maybe one thing I read was like, even the water soluble ones could be stored, but I think the fat soluble ones are more dangerous.
Got it. Okay.
Like a higher risk of that. Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, which, you know, also vitamin C a lot of times is used to help preserve things. Like if you ever get apples at a fast food chain, it'll probably say ascorbic acid on there. Because it acts as a preservative. But nice. It's a vitamin. So nice. Then you're like, oh, that's fine. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. Don't mind if I do.
So that's a good overview, an introduction to vitamins. And we're going to keep talking about them and how the FDA has or has not regulated them. And also some of the functions of them. In future episodes over the summer, I thought that'd be a fun little series to do.
Nice. I like that a lot.
Okay, now though.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, instead of doing, oh, what's a fun thing? You know, I was like, oh, we could do categories.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, well, this is a fun category that I thought of that is related.
Okay, deal.
In honor of the monotonous or non-monotonous diet that we should each be eating.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a study that came out somewhat recently that indicated that not only do you need fiber, but it's best if you can get fiber from a variety of sources.
Okay.
Of plant sources.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have had more than 30 types of plant food, you are more likely to have a much healthier gut.
Okay.
And probably to have gotten all the vitamins that you need. That's me conjecturing.
Right. Okay.
So my question for you is, how many types of plant food do you think you've had in the last few days?
How many types?
In the last, they say 30 plant types in 7 days.
Okay, let me think.
If you want to, we can do that thing that's like, it does a little clock wipe of the screen so that you can have time to think about it.
I could probably just start listing things off and counting them.
Okay, let's do it.
All right.
I'll count.
Okay. Spinach, strawberries, blueberries, bananas, apples, oranges, carrots.
And all plants. So spices count if you've had a variety of spices.
Okay. I mean,
and different varieties of foods like Roma tomatoes versus cherry tomatoes.
Oh, I definitely have had tomatoes for sure.
Roma or like one kind or multiple?
I don't know.
Okay.
Nut
butters, oils, seeds. Nuts.
I'm not a nut butter guy as much. Anything plant. So you could say, is that like the spices? I've had crushed red pepper.
Okay.
Black peppers from a. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So I'm at 10, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Avocado. Corn.
Yeah. Any whole grains? Oats.
Legumes.
Yeah.
So beans. Yeah, I've had two kinds of beans. Does that count?
Yeah.
What would you say? Oats?
Oats or any like any kind of whole grain.
Yeah, I've had whole grain bread. I had a whole grain wrap, which is probably the same thing though, right? Probably both from
maybe. We'll give you two different ones for that. And you said you also had oats. I don't think I counted that.
Oh, actually, you know what? I don't know if I have this week. Let's just take it off in case, because I don't think I have. Man, if I could get to 20.
Have you had olive oil?
Oh yeah, 100%.
What about popcorn? You eat a popcorn a lot.
Oh yes, I have. Yes. But that's a different kind of corn, I guess, right? We talked about popcorn.
And you can
corn.
Have different varieties. Different varieties count.
Oh, yeah. And then bell peppers, for sure.
Oh, nice.
Onions.
Did you have different types of bell peppers?
Yes, three kinds.
Okay. I'll give you three. And then onions. Did you have multiple types of onions?
Just one, I think.
Okay.
And chia seeds.
Nice. Those are good for you. They're high in fiber.
Oh, does cacao have fiber?
Yep.
Okay.
And you know what is a big plant food that you drink, you do a lot?
Coffee. Ahaha. And I have had tea, I think, once this week. It's a different plant.
Yeah.
But would the fiber get into the juice, the liquidy part of it? I mean, like if I'm just brewing.
We count like if we squeeze limes.
Okay.
Not like fruit juice.
Oh, yeah.
But
lemons and limes too.
Lemons
boom.
And limes. Okay.
I'm almost at.
You're so close.
30. Okay. We can do this. Oh, my gosh. We're very close. Jalapenos.
Okay. Let me look at my list.
Thinking
and
of
see.
Other spices I've used.
Yeah, did you use any spice besides crushed red pepper and regular pepper?
I don't know if I have. Salt's not that one. Obviously, it's not from a plant.
Any nuts at all?
Nope.
You already had chocolate. You said cacao. Pickles, lettuce of any kind. You said spinach already, but lettuce.
I've definitely had lettuce. Yes, duh.
I don't think you did say lettuce.
I don't think
all.
I did. Yeah.
You got it. Whoa! 30. That's exciting.
Dang. It's good that you asked this a few weeks after Em and I started changing how we eat more and eating healthier. So I'm so glad we didn't do this like 4 weeks ago or something.
Well, I'll say, I learned this as like part of me trying to figure out for a while before I got treated for ADHD, I had really intense stomach, it's called indigestion. So like heartburn, but in your whole stomach, not just in your like chest or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like trying to learn about eating well for gut health, and fiber was one. And then I found this study and it was like, I was at 10 most of the time, but now, so like we worked really hard to get to 30 consistently. And then we like did a health challenge with some friends and this was one of the challenges. And, I hadn't thought about it in a long time. So I was like, oh, how am I doing on that? And I counted back to last Thursday and got to 40.
No way. I just thought of four more.
Which ones?
Broccoli, cauliflower, zucchini, and squash.
Look at you.
What we made, I was trying to remember, we made a vegetable soup, which is in our, like our meal rotation. And we have like so many vegetables in there.
Yeah.
Like we try to do a ton. Oh, I didn't use rice either. It's a different one. Different grain.
That's a plant. Yeah.
All right. There we go. 35. So it's hard to remember all of them.
It is.
But that helped me a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's cool. So you got to 40.
I got to 40.
What are some of those that you had that I don't?
Okay, so we make kidney bean burgers and I put flaxseed and hemp parts in them just to like for, and I started doing it. I used to just put flour and then I was like, oh, I could use this other stuff that acts like flour. That's more plants during that challenge. I just put spices because we put a bunch of different spices in those kidney bean burgers. I did a ceviche with mango, cherry tomatoes, red onion, jalapeno.
Nice.
Which you had a lot of those.
Yeah.
Potatoes I've had you haven't had.
Me too. Yeah.
Oh, you have had them.
I just didn't think about them. Like they obviously are a vegetable, but sometimes when you're thinking about vegetables in your meal, they're like not.
They kind of go in the carb category. Right. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, you've probably had garlic.
Oh, yes. 100% I have.
I had salsa at Chewy's, which I was like, I'm not counting all the individual vegetables on that. So I just put salsa down.
Yeah.
But salsa is good for you.
Yeah.
Just try not to eat a ton of chips with it.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a go to cashew, almond, dried cranberry, and dark chocolate mix of nuts that I just grab a lot.
Nice.
And I happen to make, what is that called? Granola.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember our friend Kevin when you used to make granola?
You know, I had his once before. I have making your own granola associated with my good friend. You're your friend too, Chad Doty.
Oh, yeah.
He's the first person I ever met that made his own granola. Hmm. And it's one of the things where I was like,
I didn't know you could do that.
You're allowed to do that. But yeah, Kevin did too. Yes. And I liked it a lot. His was good.
Yeah. So he gave me his recipe. So I did that with macadamia nuts. And also I put oats, obviously, and maple syrup. It's from plants.
Nice.
So put that on there.
Nice.
I also used vanilla in there, but it was probably artificial vanilla. So I was like, that's probably missing a lot of the. It's like not, it's like in the, not in the spirit of the rule. So I skipped the vanilla.
Yeah.
But if I had done my own vanilla extract, I would have done it. And then also I didn't write this down, but I did for a while, I was having a hard time eating vegetables and eating out a lot. And I started to put like, some spices in capsules and I'll just take them some. So sometimes I'll just take like a capsule full of cinnamon. Sometimes I'll take a capsule full of beetroot powder.
Nice.
Just to like
beetroot.
I love putting those things in my smoothies, but I've had this whole dental saga and it hurts to drink cold things. So I haven't had smoothies in a long time, but those I would chop up yellow squash and freeze it instead of putting that and put that in instead of ice, and it was so good, and it's just hidden vegetables.
Yeah, I love doing that. Now we've been doing a lot more smoothies lately.
I've heard carrots are good in smoothies.
That's what I was doing with that. A lot of the carrots I've eaten this week have been through that.
Nice.
So they don't usually liquefy all the way. There's little tiny pieces or whatever, which I'm fine with.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives some texture unless you happen to bite down exactly on it. You might think, like I've also put these zero sugar chocolate chips in my smoothies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so you get texture and you kind of just think that's a little piece of chocolate chip. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't actually, it was carrot. The carrots are sweet. So
I do
it
that
helps.
With cacao nibs. Sometimes I put those in there. Oh, it's like a little.
Yeah. Yeah. A little nib to nibble on.
Okay, so yes, that is that's just a quick introduction to vitamins and what they are. And I think this is gonna be a more, you know,
that's awesome.
As like a serious type thing. I mean, we kind of have already started the series because we've done retinol, vitamin D, but mm-hmm. there's more vitamins to explore. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to talk about, like, you know, you hear like, oh, those aren't regulated by the FDA. So what does that mean? And what should we do with that? And also, there's a lot more. So this is vitamins, but there's also supplements and minerals and other things that I want to talk about. So. Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. So here's your little introduction. And I'd love to hear how many vegetables all of y'all had in the last week. And if you didn't have a good week in the last week, then take this as a challenge and see if you can get up to 30 next week.
Up to 30. That's plants, right? Overall.
Plants overall.
All kinds of plants.
Sorry, I always say vegetables, but yeah, it's like... It's spices count. I can't remember if it's like as small of a quarter of a teaspoon of a spice or something, mm-hmm. but I don't measure it.
Yeah.
Usually, but spices count, oils count, nuts count. And then, any vegetables, fruit. I counted pickles. Yeah. I'm like, that's a plant.
Oh, 100%. I guess oils if it's not like butter and it's not like beef tallow or something like that.
Yeah, like olive oil or coconut oil. That was like, one that I had on there. Coconut
I guess most
oil.
Of our oils we use for cooking are vegetable, plant derived, but not all, I guess. But
yeah.
Okay, cool. Sweet. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know.
So we want to hear from y'all. You can comment on the YouTube or message us on Insta.
And we also want to hear from you about your ideas, questions, thoughts about topics for chemistry for your life.
That was a nice transition.
Something you think might be chemistry in your everyday life. We want to hear about it. So it might be its own episode. It might be a really good question for our Q&R episodes that we do, or it might be a comment or correction on something we've talked about, or feedback or additional cool tidbit or whatever. We'd love to hear it. Send that to us on our website at chemforyourlife.com. That's chem, foryourlife.com, to share your thoughts and ideas. If you'd like to help us keep our show going and contribute to cover the cost of making it, you can join our super cool community of patrons on patreon.com/chemforyourlife. You get a lot of cool stuff. You get to support the show. You get the show ad-free. You get some perks. You get cool stuff. We'd love to have you over there. Join our community. But if you're not able to do that, you can still help us by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, rating, writing, review on Apple Podcasts. That also helps us share chemistry with more people. And subscribing on our YouTube channel. We just passed 1,000 subscribers.
Woo! So now if we get a certain number of watch hours, we can maybe start making money on YouTube, which would be great.
Yep. We've heard it's, you know, like 30 cents or something like that, but it all goes to supporting chemistry for your life.
It
does. The chemistry, the sharing of the chemistry with everyone. So, you know, we're here for that. And yes, please do those things. It helps us share chemistry with even more people.
This episode of Chemistry for Your Life was created by me, Melissa Collini, and him, Jim Robinson. Jim Robinson's also our producer. Thanks for this beautiful audio quality. And this episode was made possible by our financial supporters over on Patreon. It means so much to us that you want to make chemistry accessible to even more people, and you get the perks of ad-free episodes and hanging out with us. Those supporters are Sierra L., John T., Avishai B., Bree M., Brian K., Carol R., Chris and Claire S., Chelsea B., Derek L., Elizabeth B., Emerson W., Hunter R., Jacob T., Christina G., Katrina H., Latila S., Lynn S., Melissa P., Nicole C., Rachel R., Sarah M., Stephen B., Suzanne P., Timothy P., Venus R., Erica B., Cullen R., and Jeanette N. Thank you all so much for being part of our community, our community on Patreon. And for everything else you do to make this podcast happen. And we send an extra special thanks to Bree, who sometimes creates illustrations to go with episodes of Chemistry for Your Life. You can see on our YouTube channel, and you can check out her website in our links.
And if you'd like to learn more about today's chemistry lesson, you can check out the references for this episode in our show notes or in the description of the video on YouTube.
Yay, chemistry.
Yay, chemistry.
Yay, vitamins.
Yay, vitamins.
Boo, monotony.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.